It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Milwaukee Film Festival kicks off Thursday, screening hundreds of films at four venues, including the revived Downer Theater. We learn about the festival's highlights, and you can call in with a question. You can share comments at any point. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Anne Reed is interim CEO of Milwaukee Film. Anne, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
I'm so glad to be here, Kate. Thank you.
So 300 films across 15 days, that is a lot. How does Milwaukee Film select which movies play at the festival?
It is an enormous project and one that our team really does with joy. You know, we know nothing connects us like film does. Nothing shows us other lives like film does. It's so important to do this, and it's so much work. If you walked around our offices during the time between the submission deadline and the time that the lineup was announced, what you would have seen was lots and lots of people with headphones looking at their screens. it was just delightful to see. We have a terrific programming staff that programs not only for the festival, but year-round. But in addition, lots of people whose normal job during the year is something else had those headphones on and were screening away.
Everyone rolls up their sleeves for this.
Exactly.
So some Milwaukee publications have put out lists recommending dozens of movies at the festival. How do you go about recommending how we pick and choose which movies to see?
This is what I'm learning, the big challenges for so many people. There are more than 300 films in the festival from more than 60 countries across four locations, starting late morning into late night for 2 weeks straight. It's not only an enormous project for our team, it's an enormous project if you're planning to come. So we've really tried to make it as easy as we can in so many ways. For one thing, the films are categorized into different programs, and both on our website, mkefilm.org, and in the physical program book, you can see them listed that way. That helps. Online, we have a special page, just the recommendations of individual programmers. This is what I like, this is what I like, kind of thing. And then just sitting down with that book and a bunch of post-it notes and a cup of coffee and taking your time and really, really running through there. Not just for the things that you've decided in advance you want to see, but the times when you're ready to let yourself be surprised and delighted by something that you that might not have been on your radar.
And I understand you have a special place in your heart for movie trailers.
I do love trailers. And it was fun preparing for the festival because I couldn't, of course, look at everything. And so I've been watching a lot of trailers lately.
Yeah, but that means that you want to take in every movie. I mean, the trailer is like the best. So
that's the reason for the trailer. But really, I have a friend who just posted on Facebook that he has identified the 55 films he plans to see over the next 2 weeks. It's possible to take in a great deal.
Follow in those footsteps. So in the mix, Anne, is somewhere in here, it's Footloose. 1984 comes alive. Kevin got Kevin Bacon. And then there's the Talking Heads concert film, Stop Making Sense. What films are you looking forward to? And how did these particular ones get in the mix?
Well, Stop Making Sense is actually a regular for us. Our community loves Stop Making Sense, and we show it every couple of months. And so for that to be included in the festival was a no-brainer. And for those who like music and old things and the ability to really let it out, Stop Making Sense is a great place to go. Footloose is associated with the live broadcast of the podcast that we do with 88.9 Radio Milwaukee, which is called Cinebuds. It's our Christopher Pollard and Dori Zori from 88.9. They do a regular podcast about film. They'll be doing it live from the festival, and Footloose is the associated film with that. It's a great favorite of Christopher's, and I know it's a great favorite of lots of others. I want to start humming the music even now as I sit here.
Anne Reed with us, interim CEO of Milwaukee Film, as we talk about the Milwaukee Film Festival gets underway Thursday. Call in questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So since 2020, the festival has had a virtual component, and this year's festival won't have a way to virtually view any of the festival's films. Why remove the option to watch them remotely?
The virtual component obviously was necessary in 2020, 2021. And like many things that we learned to do during the pandemic, it was popular. And so right now, very frankly, it's just a question of bandwidth. The organization's gone through a whole lot of change this year, and it was just a question of what we could put on and needing to prioritize, of course, first, the fullness of the physical festival itself as it was pre-COVID and trying to come back to that. I will say a lot of people have said that they miss that virtual option, and I do hope some way to find a way to get that back.
So going forward here, you're interim CEO. What are your priorities as head of Milwaukee Film and what you've brought to the organization in just recent months?
It's been amazing. As you may know, I was a lawyer for a long time early, and then I was in
Humane Society. Yeah,
I was at the Wisconsin Humane Society for 12 years. So my biggest personal priority right now is learning. I've never worked in the arts. It's amazing. This team is amazing. The depth of knowledge that it takes to do what they're doing, and the depth of operational experience and precision to put how long is this film going to be with us, how long is this film going to be with us, on which screen, how many seats, how much popcorn. It's just remarkable to watch them put it all together. So I'm learning a ton. I am trying to see how I can best help. This is an amazing group of people, and my main priority is to support them as best I can. And then I'll say, too, this is remarkable work that can't be financially supported just by the ticket price, although we're so grateful, and just by the popcorn price. In order to program with the variety that we do, in order to provide the educational options we do, bringing hundreds of kids in to see films, often for the first time, supporting emerging filmmakers, this work relies a lot on what people are generous enough to donate. And of course, it's a lot of my job to help make sure people know what a difference they're making.
Anne Reed is interim CEO of Milwaukee Film and our guide to its annual festival. It gets underway Thursday, runs for 2 weeks. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Milwaukee Film Festival is here. It returns to screens Thursday, featuring over 300 films from local, national, and international filmmakers. And they showcase a range of topics and genres. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. You can add your perspective at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Anne Reed with us, interim CEO of Milwaukee Film. So, Anne, in March, Milwaukee Film announces it would take over operations of the Downer Theater. Can you explain why take over this two-screen movie theater?
I sure can. The question really was, if not us, who? The Downer Theater on Downer Avenue in Milwaukee is the oldest operating movie theater in Wisconsin. Mm. It is a treasure. And it is the anchor of a thriving neighborhood, as many neighborhood movie theaters are. And the idea of that neighborhood, just picturing it with and without that theater that's been there for so long, the folks who used to go as kids, the folks, somebody just told me they've been married 50 years, they had their first date there. Mm. The idea of it going dark, if we could prevent it, just didn't feel acceptable. Our mission is to celebrate the power of film, to share the power of film. And while we can't save every theater, because neighborhood theaters are definitely at risk, we felt that we could this one, and we are so proud and excited to have done that.
Have you made any renovations or changes to the building itself?
There's been a lot of cleaning. In fact, I just saw, I think on Instagram, our team posted a reel of Kristen, our CEO, in a hard hat, kind of explaining what all they've been working very, very hard since the day we took the keys. For larger renovations, and everyone is asking us, what are you, especially about the seats, what are you going to do about the seats? What are you going to do about? And that really is going to depend on, over time, figuring out what funding is available to pursue those things one at a time. We know that the big thing to do now is turn those lights back on and get movies running again in there. There were movies running right before it closed. We can run movies again with just some cleanup. But we know from having restored the Oriental Theater only five blocks away on the mm-hmm. east side of Milwaukee into the true movie palace that it was built as, we know what true restoration means, and we will definitely be looking for those opportunities.
And that's what I wonder about, the synergy of the neighborhood, the synergy of those two theaters being, you know, just minutes apart. You can walk to them. And this is a neighborhood you know well, Anne. Can you talk about how people from out of town can enjoy going to these theaters, these neighborhood theaters, and really taking in the energy of the neighborhood itself?
Absolutely. It's really creating what we're calling a kind of a cinema district in that space, that five block space between the Oriental and the Downer. As around both theaters, there are great restaurants. There's Boswell Books, a nationally well-known independent bookseller. So much going on in both of those places. And for us to be able to run films in both means that we can introduce people to that whole area. People worry about parking on the east side. There is a parking garage right across the street from the Downer on Downer Avenue. We have parking options in the program book for all of the theaters that we're going to be at. We'll also be at the Avalon and the Times during the festival. But to come back to your question, yes, the fact we are so excited that the fact that the two theaters are so close together really elevates the immediate area around both of them and helps the city and our visitors experience that connection.
And so when the festival comes to close on the 25th of April, what films will be screening at the Downer after that?
We'll just be programming there. It will be our second year-round theater together with the Oriental. And so the full joyful variety of what you see being screened at the Oriental Theater, from big first-run Oscar-nominated films to special programs around special things that we want to be sure to recognize, like Black History Month and Women's History Month earlier this year, to fun little sequences we're still doing, an Alfred Hitchcock series, to things like Stop Making Sense. That's our space, is that amazing variety of the different ways that film can tell stories and touch us and really make us have a blast. And that's what you'll see at the Downer.
And here is such a historic neighborhood theater that people have memories of, as you said, and the National Movie Theater chain Landmark Theaters previously owned Downer Theater. In September, Landmark closed the location as part of evaluating its business strategy, it said. How concerned are you about keeping a small screen theater open and viable, you know, in this age of multiplex theaters?
Here's what I've learned, and a lot of people don't know this. The danger to neighborhood theaters is actually not our ability to watch films at home. I think I thought that, and a lot of people thought that. But in fact, lots and lots of people will see a movie in their kitchen and also go see it on the big screen. The issue is that the behind-the-scenes business of this work, the more flexibility you have among different screens, the better you can make it work. And so, you know, if you're committed to Dune Part 2 for X amount of weeks, which you definitely want to be, how are you going to fit in these others? So for us, it should, the idea is it actually will work better from a business slash financial point of view to have five screens, five blocks apart, than it has been working to have three And that it did work for Landmark to have those two at the Downer. I'm gesturing this with my hands. We think of it as a multiplex theater with a long atrium in between the three screen end at the Oriental and the two screen end at the Downer. People are coming to the Oriental wonderfully, and we definitely hope, but I have lots of reason to hope that they'll come to the Downer as well.
Milwaukee Film Festival with Anne Reed is here, interim CEO of Milwaukee Film, as we talk about the festival and beyond the venues and these beloved theaters in Milwaukee. Call in along the way with questions. You can share your perspectives, your experiences. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. And as you said before, you were a lawyer for decades in Milwaukee. You've led the Wisconsin Humane Society for a dozen years. And now here you are leading a film organization. How isn't a nonprofit like this perhaps similar or different from other organizations you've led?
Well, the thing about all nonprofits is there's work that needs to be done that people are committed needs to continue, needs to be done on the planet, whether it be finding great outcomes for homeless animals or making sure that film in all of its fullness is here in our city, and that what's now an arts institution like the Milwaukee Film Festival continues. So we decide as a community that this must continue, but these are things that don't pay for themselves in the same way that running other things that are in the private sector do. So if you think Amazon's work needs to continue, just be Amazon. But these things that if you do them just from selling tickets or quote unquote selling animals, you're going to lose money doing that because it costs more than that's going to bring in. So you bring in the nonprofit model, you bring in the ability for people to say, yeah, I want this to continue and I'm going to donate to make that happen. That's the common thread between all nonprofit work. And so that's what we're seeing here. Imagine a world where we didn't have the Milwaukee Film Festival, where we didn't have this deep variety of programming, where we didn't have us bringing in kids to see inside a movie theater for the first time. And you realize that has to continue. And when people step forward to support that, that's literally what makes the difference.
From an outsider, I thought this festival was an institution in Milwaukee, and I was surprised a bit how it started relatively recently. It scaled up pretty quickly. How is that possible?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
16 years.
Yeah.
From essentially a blank sheet of paper to a definitely nationally recognized film festival. And so much credit needs to go to my predecessor, Jonathan Jackson. He led Milwaukee Film for those 16 years, stepped away earlier this year. And the amount of the level of vision that it took to make this happen on all of the different levels that it is, it's truly a testament to his vision.
Let's bring in Paul in Summit. Paul, hi.
Hi, good morning. Great show. I went to UWM in the 80s, and lots of movies that we saw with a lot of my former classmates at the Downer and the Oriental. So excited that you guys are taking this on. A little shout out to Sandberg Hall. They had a little movie theater in there, but there was a real movie culture at that time. And I think that this really allows the residents. And I mean, right now I'm not living there, but I'm definitely going to go to Downer and the Oriental and see a movie now that you guys are putting your thumbprint on it. Thanks so much for all of your work.
Oh, Paul, thank you so much for those kind words. And go ahead.
Oh, that's so great to hear. Thank you so much. And it's a great shout out as well to UWM. UWM has a nationally recognized film program. Behind the scenes, we at Milwaukee Film have several ties to UWM and to that film program that we're super proud of. I do have a sense that now that we're at the Downer, kind of inching our way physically closer to UWM, that that the public will see more of that outward facing and will be able to interact in more ways with the amazing work that's being done there.
Okay, so one final thing before we have to let you go. People like to eat at when they see films. Is there anything special about the food at the festival?
Enjoy. Our team has so much fun figuring out food. They try to use local suppliers every and local kind of food institutions everywhere they can. I'm a tea drinker and I can count on my reishi tea
Go
there.
find your Rishi, Anne.
Absolutely.
I'm drinking it right
Popcorn
now.
and then great restaurants around all those theaters.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. All the best with the festival.
Thank you so much.
Anne Reed is interim CEO of Milwaukee Film. And for disclosure, Milwaukee Film Festival is a business sponsor of WPR. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.